So today's topic is hematologic disorders. We left off talking about B12 deficiency anemia. What's the other name for B12 deficiency anemia? Pernicious. Alright, and so today we're going to pick up and we're going to talk about folic acid deficiency anemia. Now, folic acid deficiency anemia is the other anemia that is characterized by what kind of cells? How do we classify anemias? Based on their morphology, which is going to be shape and color, size or color. All right, so in B12 and folic acid deficiency anemias have what in common? What morphology? They are both macrocytic. All right, so sometimes they're also called megaloblastic because mega means big, blast is a type of cell, so megaloblastic anemia. So big cell anemias. So folic acid comes from liver, yeast, fruits, leafy vegetables, eggs, milk, etc. It's absorbed in the upper small intestine, circulates through the liver, and there's very little storage. You can run out of this in about 3 weeks if you stop, or sorry, 3 months. If you stop taking it in. Deficiency is most common in selected groups. Now, what that means is most people won't get this, only people who belong to the few, the proud, the brave, but not the Marines. So, pregnancy and lactation, because there's an increased need. Women who are pregnant and women who are breastfeeding, more likely to have folic acid deficiency. This is why we always recommend that women of childbearing age take folic acid supplements. And what is the magic number for women of childbearing age? 800. For everyone else, the magic number is 400. Fad diets with decreased intake of folate. So if there's a fad diet where you have decreased intake of the kinds of food that contain folate, you're going to have decreased folic acid intake, can end up with folic acid deficiency anemia. Alcoholic persons. Now, alcoholic persons were also at risk for what other deficiency anemia? B12 deficiency. So they can get both B12 and folic acid deficiency. Chronically malnourished. In this country, there's not that many people who are chronically malnourished except for those who do it on purpose or those who have what kind of disease? Say again? Not kidney disease. What kind of disease might make someone just completely lose their appetite? Cancer. We haven't talked about cancer yet, but that's the correct answer. Also, some people who have depression may have decreased drive to eat and may also become malnourished. Although this will be kind of severe for depression. And then sprue. What is sprue? Sometimes we put a word in front of it. Celiac sprue. What is celiac sprue? Okay, it's a disease in which a person cannot metabolize gluten, which is a protein created it's present in wheat and some other things, and when you put it in the presence of water, it forms like this stretchy matrix, which is what gives bread, like baguettes and pizza dough, their chewy hard flavor, or flavor, texture. People who can't digest gluten, if they eat gluten, it causes an inflammatory reaction, which in turn makes it so that they can't absorb certain vitamins and minerals as easily. All right, clinical manifestations of folic acid deficiency anemias. What are the four classic signs of anemia? Pallor, fatigue, dyspnea on exertion, dizziness. All right, so the patient will have those four possibly. In addition, they may have painful ulcerations of the cheek and tongue and fissuring of the lips and mouth. There's a fun word that you might want to remember, and that is this word, chelitis. So have you ever gotten like a little cut right at the very edge of your mouth, and every time you like yawn or open your mouth to take a bite of something, it like, and ow, it hurts again? We're talking about that, but on a bigger scale. Of lips and mouth. And then they also get GI symptoms. Dysphagia, may have trouble swallowing. flatulence, everyone's favorite. What's that? Gas. And then watery diarrhea can also be caused by folic acid deficiency. So evaluation is going to look very similar to B12. CBC, you're going to measure their what three things first? The first triplet? Red blood cells, hemoglobin, hematocrit. So once we determined, yes, they have anemia, then we look at the MCV, MCH, and MCHC. And for folic acid, we'll see that what is big? What number will be high? MC what? MC what? How do you know it's MCV? Because what size? Okay, that's good, but you've already taken this class. So, Nicole, what would you expect to be abnormal on the CBC in terms of the morphology? Don't look at me like that. Okay, look back in your notes. Remember that slide that I created on the fly yesterday? Did you copy that down? Somewhere. Well, someone else help her out then. Yes, but why can't she just repeat what she just said? Maybe she wasn't listening to you either.
It's the size.
The size. And what reflects size on your blood count? MC what? And how do you know V is size? V doesn't look like size to me. Why don't they call it MCS? Oh, volume. And volume is a measure of size. Okay, so with folic acid deficiency, we expect MCV to be high. Didn't mean to give you a really hard time there, but you just presented the opportunity. Clinical manifestations. So you're look to see what their clinical manifestations are. You're going to check folic acid levels, and if they have folic acid deficiency, what do you expect their folic acid levels to be? Oh, that's like such an easy question that I didn't even trick you. And then, in extreme cases, bone marrow biopsy. Treatment is going to be give folic acid. All right. Now, there are two types of folic acid. We have the active form and the inactive form. Almost everything given in this country is going to be the inactive form, which has to be activated by B12. So we also, anytime someone has folic acid deficiency, we also want to check B12 levels. And sometimes administer B12 in addition. So the inactive form is what we use most often in this country, with folate or folic acid being the most common ones given, especially over the counter. Treatment. So treatment for folic acid deficiency is to give folic acid. And again, in this country, most of what we give is inactive form. Prophylaxis for deficiency during pregnancy is one of the big indications for folic acid. Women can get these over the counter, or they can have their doctor prescribe them. Also used for initial treatment of severe B12 deficiency. The adverse effects. There are no known adverse effects. You can give it PO, IM, sub-Q, and IV, and the preferred route is PO. Dosage 1,000 to 2,000 micrograms per day. For treatment, for prevention, it's going to be 400 micrograms per day. And for women of childbearing age, it will be 800 micrograms per day. Once the patient is being treated, we're going to monitor their CBC and their reticulate count. If malabsorption is the problem, like they've got celiac sprue, so they're not absorbing it properly, or if they have alcoholism and they're not doing it properly, you might not be able to treat it with diet alone. You might have to use a supplement. But most people who are in those select groups, if they change their lifestyle, will be able to correct their deficiency by diet alone. All right, so we've done the first group of anemias, which are called the macrocytic anemias. The next set of anemias we're going to do is the microcytic hypochromic anemias. And there's two basic kinds. What are they?
Iron deficiency.
Iron deficiency and sideroblastic. Now, We are not going to do sideroblastic in this class. What we are going to talk about is the iron deficiency anemia. So iron deficiency anemia, the pathophysiology, is that your body doesn't have enough iron, so it can't produce hemoglobin in the right amounts. So you get small cells that have less hemoglobin than normal in them. That's why we call it microcytic hypochromic. Now, the major causes, children are growing at an enormous rate, and as they grow, they need more iron than usual because their bodies are producing more blood. So how much blood does an adult person have on average in their body? So about 5 liters. Now, what about a kid who's 2 years old? How much blood do they have in their body? Less? Okay, they have a lot less. You can look up the number on your own. We are not pediatrics class here yet. You'll actually have to memorize all that stuff in peds. But for now, we don't want you to have to memorize that. But it is a lot less than in an adult. So as they're growing, they're producing more blood. They're going to need more iron. Next one is pregnancy. Now, pregnancy is probably the number one cause of iron deficiency anemia in this country. A woman becomes pregnant, now she's producing blood for herself, and the child is also stealing her iron. And iron poor diet. So people who just don't take in enough iron because they don't get it in their diet. As far as inadequate intake, these are the three groups of people who are most likely to have inadequate intake. Now, another possibility is that you have iron loss. Iron loss is going to be things like bleeding is the main cause here. So menorrhagia, menorrhea or menses meaning period, and then rhagia, hemorrhage. So abnormally large amounts of bleeding during menses. Medications that cause GI bleeding, and what's the number one you're going to think of there? Aspirin, followed by other NSAIDs like ibuprofen. What else could cause GI bleeding? Do we know of drugs that prevent a person from clotting normally? So anticoagulants. Hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids can cause bleeding every time a person has a bowel movement. The bowel movement scrapes across those varicose veins can cause bleeding. Ulcerative colitis is an inflammatory bowel disease, and this can cause bloody diarrhea, which can cause iron deficiency anemia. Chronic blood loss with gastric or duodenal ulcers, so any kind of ulcer can cause it. I guess you could say that this is a GI type of GI bleed. And then neoplasms, which erode into blood vessels. So what we're talking about here is, what's the number one cancer that would do this? Colon cancer. Speaking of colon cancer, Tony Snow just died of colon cancer at the age of 53. Do you know who Tony Snow is? He had a TV show on Fox News. He was like a news anchorman, and he was the White House press secretary for about 2 years until the cancer caught up and he had to stop because of it. So there'll be test questions about Tony Snow on your test. Oh, yes. What? Just like Jack Bauer questions. So colon cancer is one of the big causes here. So I'm going to make an aside, and I'm going to tell you anytime, how often? Anytime you have a patient who has iron deficiency anemia, one of the questions should be, could this be colon cancer? You can also have decreased iron related to parasitic infections. Hookworms metabolize iron. So if a person has been drinking polluted water, walking around in polluted areas, gone to another country, they picked up a parasite, this might also be the cause. So you always want to get a travel history, find out their living conditions. Clinical manifestations. What are the classic signs of anemia? Pallor, fatigue, dysmal exertion, and dizziness. You guys are good. Next, structural and functional changes in the epithelial tissue as a result of impaired capillary circulation, not present unless the anemia is severe. Whew. So if a person has severe anemia, they're going to get some epithelial problems. Nails will become brittle and thin. Tongue may become sore, red, and burning. We call this glossitis. Skin can become very dry, especially at the corners of the mouth. Difficulty swallowing related to mucus web at the base of the pharynx or the larynx. Now, these only happen when it's severe. How low? Hemoglobin below 7. In addition, patients may have gastritis and headache, also may have numbness and tingling. What other anemia could cause numbness and tingling? B12 deficiency. Patients may become confused, disoriented, and have memory loss. And then there's also pica. Now, what is pica? Yeah. It's the craving for non-nutritive substances. So there'll be people who just crave ice or crave mud or clay, and they'll just eat it. That's called pica. Uh-huh. They'll eat mud. Just like.
They ask you
that question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When you become pregnant, they'll ask you screening questions for iron deficiency anemia, like, do you crave ice? Do you crave dirt? Etc. Dirt? I hadn't thought of that one. Typically, you're going to see that in kids. Most adults won't actually eat the dirt. They might crave it, but they're not going to eat it. But in kids, sometimes you'll see them eating dirt. So, evaluation, CBC analysis, clinical manifestations analysis, and on CBC, what is going to be low? So, the MCV and the MCH and the MCHC, all three are probably going to be low. You can do iron profiles. Now, for iron, it's not as simple as B12 and folic acid because you've got several different things that can affect the iron. First one is we can check the plasma iron. This is free iron floating around in the blood. We can also check the total iron binding capacity. We can check transferrin, which is the carrier molecule that allows iron to be absorbed into the stomach or into the bloodstream in the first place. We can also check ferritin, which is the long-term storage form of iron. You can also check something called free erythrocyte protoporphyrin, FEP, and that indicates synthesis within erythrocytes. I usually don't see this one checked. Usually what I'll see checked is plasma, total iron binding capacity, and ferritin. I usually don't see them check transferrin, but you might see it sometimes. Then we have bone marrow aspiration analysis in extreme cases. All right, so the treatment. Number one, eliminate blood loss. If they're losing blood, you got to stop it. So if they're having heavy periods, you want to try and control their periods. And what would be the normal way of doing that? Birth control pills. If they can tolerate them. If it's colon cancer, what do we want to do? Cut it out. If it's a hemorrhoid, what do we want to do? Cut it out. Hemorrhoidectomy. Administer iron. So you're going to give them more iron. You're going to offer dietary counseling to have them try and increase their dietary intake. And then in severe cases, blood transfusion. Also, you want to monitor the reticulocyte count to measure the response to treatment. So let's talk about iron for a moment, at least iron drugs. There's two ways we can give iron. We can give it by mouth or we can give it IV. Giving it IV is very dangerous. Say dangerous. Dangerous. Life-threatening. Dangerous. We don't really want to do it if at all possible. Say that. Okay. Now, on the other hand, we have oral. Say oral. Cheaper. Less dangerous. We really want to give it this way. Okay, now, within the oral, there's two kinds. There's iron salts and what your book calls carbonyl iron. So iron salts are ferrous, ferrous, and ferrous. Say ferrous. What does ferrous mean? Iron-like or iron-containing. So ferrous sulfate, ferrous fumarate, ferrous gluconate. They're all exactly the same in terms of side effects. The only thing that's different between them is the amount of iron in each one. DOC means drug of choice, and ferrous sulfate is kind of like the gold standard that you measure everything else by. Not that it's the best, just it's the most common. So typically what the patient will do is they'll put them on ferrous sulfate and see how they do. If they can't tolerate ferrous sulfate, will they be able to tolerate the other two? No, because they have the same side effects. Now, carbonyl iron is kind of, it's a more elemental form of iron, and it's pretty much 100% iron. So if you give 150 milligrams of carbonyl, how much milligrams of iron are you getting? 150. Yeah. So the dose that you're giving is the dose of iron the person is getting. With ferrous sulfate, it's like, I think, 20% iron. So if a person was getting 325 milligrams of ferrous sulfate, how much iron would they really be getting? 325 and 20%. Well, about 64 milligrams. So it takes a lot more doses of the ferrous sulfate to equal one of the carbonyl irons. Now, under parenteral, you've got iron dextran and sodium ferric acid, or sodium ferric gluconate complex. Both of these can be dangerous. They can cause allergic reactions and other bad things to happen. All right, ferrous sulfate is the least expensive drug that has iron, and that's why it's used the most often. And that's why we judge everything else by it. Indications are treatment of iron deficiency anemia and prophylaxis against it, so we can use it to prevent it in the first place. The main adverse effects, repeat after me, GI side effects. Say it again. So what kind of GI side effects? Constipation, but it can also cause diarrhea, but constipation is more common. What else? Nausea, what else? Abdominal cramping. So, nausea, abdominal cramping, constipation, but also possibly diarrhea. And if you take it in liquid form, you can get staining of the teeth. I guess your teeth will rust. Now, toxicity. Overdose is extremely rare in adults. The most common form of iron toxicity is you have a little kid who gets into mommy and daddy's medicine cabinet and swallows the whole bottle. Can be dangerous, can be fatal. So what we want to make sure is that we keep these drugs out of the reach of children. So if a child gets toxic, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, shock, then acidosis, gastric necrosis, hepatic failure, pulmonary edema, vasomotor collapse, and death. So, early diagnosis saves lives. You're gonna, if you suspect iron problems, you're gonna tell them to go to the emergency room. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do you guys know what that means? You played Monopoly. That's not before your time. Okay. You never know. So, early diagnosis saves lives. Got to get them to the emergency room as quickly as possible. Drug interactions. If you give iron along with antacids like Maalox or Mylanta or Rolaids, you'll decrease the absorption of it. Tetracyclines also decrease iron absorption. Ascorbic acid, better known as vitamin C, increases the absorption, but it also increases the GI side effects. So ideally, how would our person take their iron? With orange juice. or with lemon juice, or they would marinate their meat with lemon. That sounds good, doesn't it? That's going to help them absorb more iron. But at the same time, it could also cause more side effects. So generally speaking, here's how you'd want to say it. Take your medication with something containing acid, citric acid, like orange juice. If you get bad side effects, take it with water. If you still have the bad side effects, then start taking it with a meal. Because ordinarily, you don't want to take it with a meal because you get better absorption on an empty stomach. But if you can't stand it, then take it with a meal, because taking it with a meal is still better than not taking it at all. So we're going to start off our patient with taking it with orange juice. If they have too many side effects, they're going to take it with water on an empty stomach. And if they still have side effects, then we're going to ask them to what? To take it with a meal. Now, if they still have too many side effects, then what do? Do they stop taking it altogether? Change to what? To the carbonyl. Now, if you have them change to ferrous fumarate or ferrous gluconate, guess what? They're going to still have the same side effects. So if they can't stand one of the drugs, taking it with meals, then what we have to do is we have to switch them to carbonyl. Now, what's the problem with the carbonyl? More expensive. And just so you know, in practice, the name of the drug is going to be Niferex. That's the carbonyl acid, the carbonyl iron. It's called Niferex. All right. All we're going to say about sideroblastic anemias is that they are a group of hereditary and acquired microcytic hypochromic anemias characterized by inefficient iron uptake, resulting in dysfunctional hemoglobin synthesis. That's all you need to know.